Jeanette Winterson has tied up a holiday present between two covers. Christmas Days is a book of 12 stories and just about the same number of recipes. Jeanette Winterson, who won the Whitbread Prize for her first novel, Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit, joins us from the studios of the BBC in London. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Memories and food and stories are all tied up, aren't they?
They are, because food's a place of sharing. It's where we come together to be with our families and friends, you know, to have the seasonal row at Christmas. So food is a big part for me of the whole holidays Christmas spectacle. And when I was putting this book together, because this is really a kind of knit-your-own Christmas book, the stories were straightforward enough. I thought, yeah, I'm going to have 12 stories. And then I suddenly remembered that so much of my life has been about either making meals or sharing meals with people that I've loved, a lot of people that your listeners will recognise, like Kathy Acker or Ruth Rendell. And so every recipe has a story around it.
Tell me about the mincemeat pie of your life.
Oh, my mother, the late Mrs. Winterson, was a flamboyant depressive, but she particularly loved Christmas. I don't know why. It was like she had an injection on the 21st of December and suddenly she was happy for the season. And she made the most fantastic mince pies with a proper crispy, dry pastry, you know, full of the mincemeat she made herself in the autumn. And I've always followed that recipe and copied it. And so, of course, it has to be in the book.
Yeah. You have a Christmas story set in New York City.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed a lot. A man turns the door and finds a Christmas tree in his apartment.
Yes, it's one of the stories where it could be magic, but actually, in the end, all the magical things that seem to happen are explained, but actually in a rather charming way. It's not that you suddenly sort of deflated and think, oh, I wish that had been different. It's because I'm married to a New York Jew, and I said to her, look, when I write these stories, I'll write one for you that's in New York. In fact, there is a Jewish one in there as well called The Glow Heart, because my partner, being Jewish, doesn't believe in the afterlife at all. And sometimes, you know, when we talk about it, she says, I don't even know why this is interesting. And I said, listen, when we die, there's going to be a split second and it's 50-50 and one of us is going to say, oh, shucks, we got it wrong. I don't know which way it's going to fall because, you know, you don't know and I don't know. So for her, I wrote a story about a ghost coming back to speak to his grieving partner because we all know what it's like to grieve and to feel loss at Christmas. And it's a story of hope, but it's also a story that recognises, you know, the pain and the sorrow that many people will experience at this time.
And a lox recipe.
A lox recipe, yeah, of course, from Susie Orbach herself, because, you know, nobody makes
lox.
Gravlox
it is in
Gravlox,
the book.
Gravlox, yeah, like a New York Jew. And she does a beautiful one, you know, putting the vodka over it, you know, squashing it down with bricks, turning it, which is apparently the secret and the key. Because we always have a really fancy party on Christmas Eve, because, of course, for those guys, nothing happens on Christmas Day. It's all over, isn't it?
You've been writing from the age of six, I gather.
Yeah, but it was sermons, so does that count?
Yes, anything. Putting one word after another counts. I mean, it's an interesting background. Your father was a Pentecostal minister, I gather.
Yes, and my parents adopted me because they wanted a missionary, which I am, but, you know, for art and love, not for Jesus. I mean, they got what they wanted, but it never quite works out, does it, as in all the fairy tales. In fact, my mother, when she was angry with me, which was often, used to say, the devil led us to the wrong crib.
Oh, that is the worst thing.
Well,
my wife and I are adoptive parents. That is cruel beyond belief.
Well, except that I thought, okay, so, you know, if this is the wrong crib, you know, I've got to just somehow make the most of it and get away from here when the moment comes, which I did. You know, sometimes in the most adverse circumstances, you find a special energy, don't you? That gets you out of there. And anyway, you know, all the superheroes have strange parental backgrounds.
Can you give us a good recipe to take away from this interview for the holidays?
You could always try Dad's Sherry Trifle. That's quite an easy one
to make.
All right,
yeah, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Because I don't know if in the States people make trifle, but the key is the absolute
key. We trifle with each other, but...
Trifle is a gorgeous dish, but people get it wrong because the base of it is a sponge cake.
Oh, you guys love your puddings, don't you?
We do,
go ahead,
we
please.
Do,
yeah.
We do. Mm-hmm. We have to because, you know, it's cold and chilly in England. Yeah. So we have to... You get yourself a sponge cake, but it has to be old. Chuck it in a bowl and then pour on top of it some sherry, which is best, or some brandy, some liquor of some kind. And of course, the dryness of the cake soaks it up without it disintegrating. If you use something fresh and fancy from the shop, you just get a soggy mess. It's disgusting.
Right, it'll crumble. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you get that on there, and then you put some jelly on the top. You can get just a jelly cube. You know, put hot water on there out of the hot tap, make yourself a jelly mold, let it set in the fridge. Layer of jelly on top of that. Layer of custard on top of that. And then you put some fruit on there. If you want to be fancy, you get posh fruit, either fresh fruit or fruit from the freezer, or you can just get a tin of like Del Monte, slap it on top if you're making it with your kids. Yeah, cover the lot in cream and, you know, little bits of decoration, and you've got a fabulous holiday trifle.
All right, thank you. From one of the great authors of the English language. So this is a fabulous trifle. Is the holiday a time for us? Do we hope to discover happiness all over again?
I think we do. I think we're always optimistic for love and happiness, aren't we? I mean, we think we're cynical and we've seen it all and we're living in a post-truth world and we can't trust anyone. It's just all spin. But our hearts aren't that much different. And we hope for love. We hope to receive love. We hope to give love. You know, we prefer to forgive our friends rather than go on and hating our enemies. And I think Christmas is a time when you really can reflect and think, okay, what can I put right? What can I do better? Can I hold my head up in the morning and look myself in the eye? That really matters. So I think we need to use the season really to reflect on our lives and just pull back a little and have that little bit of time to think about change and to think about love.
Jeanette Winterson, happy holidays in L'Chaim.
Thank you, L'Chaim.
Her new book, Christmas Days. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.